This is the ugliest sweater I have. Christmas is. What is Christmas? What comes to your mind when you hear the word Christmas? I know what comes to the mind of a lot of people. Oh no, not again. A lot of people think of Christmas in different ways. They do. Perhaps if someone said, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe, perhaps, it means a little bit more than just the material things, as we mentioned this morning. How do you explain the meaning of Christmas in just a few words? Well, the best way I know to explain it is John 3 and verse 16. It's a passage that we use this morning, but it's so true. And I want you to focus on what the Bible says God did. Now, He loved the world, for God so loved the world that I want you to think about this one. He gave His only begotten Son. Giving has always been a part of God. Christmas means a lot of things to a lot of different people. To some, it is a time of shopping and spending, and I hear businesses say, well, you know, if we don't make it during the Christmas season, we just don't ever make it. As if to say that, you know, we've got to merchandise this holiday and this special day of the birth of Jesus to really make it financially through the years. And so stores open early and they stay open late and they merchandise. To some people, Christmas is a time of drinking and carousing. It isn't uncommon to find that going on in our world today. People go out and imbibe. Instead of celebrating the birth of our Lord and really having a great deal of appreciation for Christ and the wonderful fellowship that we have, they go out and get drunk. To some, it's a time of traveling. Maybe going to grandmother's house or perhaps a love to the house of a friend or a loved one. But what is the real meaning of Christmas? What is the message it should convey to every one of us? You know, even when you make your attempt to convey that message, the message of the birth of Christ, and Charles, you'll appreciate this. Years ago, the preacher of a local church in a small town ordered a sign for the outdoor manger scene. The sign company needed to know the dimensions and the wording on the sign. The next day, a Western Union employee was shocked to see this message come across the wire. For unto us a child is born, 8 foot long and 3 feet wide. Sometimes when we attempt to get it right, it just doesn't always happen. I said to a guy the other day, I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if Christmas, I mean, that spirit of Christmas prevailed all year long. And he looked at me and he said, you know what? Anyone who thinks Christmas doesn't last all year long does not have a master charge. And I thought to myself, well, I guess that's true. But what is the message that you and I ought to be conveying about Christmas? What do we tell the world? What does the world think about Christmas from the way we treat Christmas and the holiday? Well, to me, Christmas is a number of things. It's a time of remembering. It is. Remembering the great love that God had for each and every one of us. He loved us so much that He spared and sent His only begotten Son that we might be saved through Him. I like the book of Romans chapter 8, and we've been studying that here in our Bible class on Sunday morning, but it conveys a tremendous idea that God demonstrates, if you're reading the King James Version, it says that God commends His love, but God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We need to remember the uniqueness of the life of Jesus. You know, when you really think about the life of Christ, there are a number of things that come to our mind. Maybe you remember these words, that He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in still another village where He worked in a carpenter shop until He was 30. Then for 3 years, He was an itinerant preacher, never wrote a book, never held an office, never ever had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He never traveled 200 miles beyond the place where He was born. He did none of these things one usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but Himself. He was only 33 when public opinion turned against Him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to His enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. When He was dying, His executioners gambled for His clothing, the only property that He had on earth. And when He was dead, He was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today He is the central figure in the human race, the leader of mankind's progress. Of all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the kings that have ever reigned, but together they have not affected the life of man on this earth more than that one solitary life. And that is the life of Jesus, our Lord. We should remember His life, the way He lived. But we should remember His teachings as well. You see, He's commanded us to obey His teachings. You cannot obey what you do not know and what you do not lodge in your mind. So I think about the uniqueness of the teachings of Jesus Christ. When the world was teaching hate, He was teaching love. When the world was teaching war, He was teaching peace. When the world had the attitude of non-compassion, Jesus had the attitude of kindness toward all. I think about all the miracles that Jesus performed. Isn't that really what Christmas is all about? Beginning with that first miracle in the book of John in Cana of Galilee, where Jesus turned water into wine, and how He reached out and healed those who were blind, and how He could call the lame to get up and walk, and how He could even speak into the spirit world and bring people back from the dead who had been dead for 3 days. I think of all of His prophecies. You know, in the Old Testament, there are all kinds of prophecies that we mentioned this morning that allude to the coming of Christ. But think about all the prophecies that Christ made that have come to pass and will yet come to pass. I think about His vicarious death upon the cross. No man, think about it, innocent, dying for sinful man. No man has ever died like Jesus died. But the uniqueness of Jesus is His resurrection. The fact that He was buried and He was raised from the dead. And we hear a lot today about people that have what they call near-death experiences. Or I've heard people even tell me that they died and were out for like 10 or 15 minutes. But no one has ever been out for 3 days and yet resurrected like Jesus was. The uniqueness of His resurrection. We should remember all of those humble but great people surrounding the Christmas story. And there are many of them, by the way. People like Mary and Joseph. People like Zechariah and Elizabeth, the mother and the father of John the Baptist, the one who was the forerunner of Christ in John chapter 1. I think about Anna, the prophetess up at the temple, who awaited the coming of the Messiah and who held him. And I think about Simeon also, who said, "Now I have seen the salvation of the Lord. Now let us thy servant depart in peace." I think about the shepherds who were abiding in the field the night that they received the message of God, and the wise men who 2 years later, by the way, most of the time when you see that nativity scene, you see the wise men. You see three of them also. We don't know how many there were. But they came from afar. They're referred to as the Magi. We don't know exactly who they are. We call them the three kings. We don't know that they were kings, but the world refers to them as such. But when I think about Christmas, Christmas is a time of remembering, but it's a time of loving as well. I don't think there's any season in all the world where people feel more loving than they do at Christmas. People make a special effort to be kinder. People open the door for one another, and they'll let somebody go before them at the shopping or down at the Walmart or perhaps maybe at one of the department stores. They're a little bit more generous with their spirit during the Christmas season. They get involved in such things as Christmas caroling and toys for the needy and meals for those who are less fortunate. And so Christmas is a time to show love. It is. No one has seen God at any time, John says. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected or matured in us. Isn't that something? When the world sees us as a loving people, they come to know God. They come to see God. So we ought to be a people that are showing love all around us. And Jesus is the central figure of Christmas, isn't he? He should always be. Christmas is a time of not only remembering, not only loving, but a time of giving. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. People read that passage and they talk about his love, but they fail to talk about his giving spirit that God gave. Love cannot look with indifference on the hungry and on the sick and on the lonely and the lost souls of this world. Love must give. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I like these passages. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him who knows to do good, and he does it not, to him it is sin." Now listen to these next verses in James 2, verse 15 and 17. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things needful for the body, what doth it profit? Thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, it is dead." That's why we take up contributions for the needy. That's why we had that contribution this morning, and over $4,000 was given, and that's great. And that money will go to feed the hungry and to feed the needy and to feed people that have lost their homes by fires. It'll be spread out over all of those areas. The elders have discussed that, and we made that decision. And there are a lot of people that need help in our community, and that we are doing. And we are trying to spread it around. God gave all he could give. He gave his only begotten Son, freely given, lovingly given, graciously given to all of us who were so undeserving. Listen to Jesus again in the book of Luke 6 and verse 38. He says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, overflowing shall men give into your bosom." You see, Christ shared our earthly nature, our human nature, that we might receive his divine nature. He came into the world, as we mentioned this morning, as a mortal. that we might become immortal. He wanted us to take on ourselves the divine nature of Christ. But there's a fourth thing regarding Christmas. Christmas is a time of forgiving. You know, a lot of times in our lives, things happen. We get upset. People say things they ought not to say. They do things they ought not to do. People cannot forgive. People say, well, I won't forgive her or forgive him if it's the last thing that I do. Tragically, that may be the last thing that they do. And it may not be the last thing they do. They may leave this world without ever enacting forgiveness upon someone who has done them wrong. God was willing to forgive. He was willing to show his mercy to a sinful, lost, and dying world. And only the blood of Jesus Christ could erase our sin. It was the only thing that could really take it away. And in Matthew 26, it confirms it, that redemption is through his blood. And Jesus says, even the forgiveness of our sins. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you can choose to either punish someone or forgive them. And Jesus taught the latter. He did. We have to be forgiving. A lot of times people think, well, you know, he didn't ask for forgiveness or she didn't ask for forgiveness. Is that really necessary? You see, unforgiveness is choosing to stay trapped in a jail cell of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime. We should forgive others not because they deserve our forgiveness necessarily, but because we deserve peace. I don't want to harbor ill will in my heart toward anyone. Not going to do it. I can forgive what people have said. I get rid of it. I can forgive people for what they have done. I can forgive people for what they have not done when they should have done it. Because I want the peace of God in my own heart. Do we possess the forgiving spirit? Or is it just a spirit of judgment that looks down upon other people? It should be a time of rescuing. We were singing a song a moment ago, Dwight led, entitled Rescue the Perishing. Isn't that really what Christ did? He came into the world. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas was a time of rescuing the perishing. And you know what? If Jesus came into this world to rescue by his love and mercy and to save us from perishing, shouldn't we be about the same? He is my rescuer, according to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. I tried to find a background different than this one. Please don't let it blow your mind, but read the passage. In Proverbs 11 and verse 8, the Bible says, the righteous man is rescued from trouble, and it comes on the wicked instead. And it does. Aren't you glad to know tonight that God rescues us? Think about, you know, you say, well, you know, I go through trouble, I go through heartache. Think about you, what you would go through if you didn't have Jesus. You think about how horrible your life would be if you didn't really have Jesus in your life. Think of, maximize your troubles right now. And think about how horrible they would be if you didn't have Christ. You see, without Jesus, we are without life and headed for an eternity without God, forever separated from the God who made us and longs to save us from our sin. Christmas is about a time of changing. You know, every time people came in contact with Jesus in his ministry, it was a time of changing. It was. You stop and think about all of them that Jesus blessed. The Christ of Christmas changes us. He makes us new creatures. All things become new for us. When we become Christians, we have new goals. We have new aspirations. There are things that drive us now that are much more important. Greater motivation, new ideas, new direction, new hope. Because Christ changes us for the better. I like the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old has gone and the new has come. Luke 10 and verse 19. Jesus says to us that I have given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. But Christmas is about a time of rejoicing last of all. You know, have you ever noticed how happy people are at Christmas? I mean, by and large, I know there's some old fuddy-duddies out there that could care less about Christmas. There's some Scrooges. But by and large, people are pretty happy during Christmas. I mean, they greet one another with a smile, even when they feel they have none left to give. They greet one another with a smile. There's just a different atmosphere in our world because they're rejoicing in God's unmerited grace and rejoicing in the release of forgiveness. It's a time of wonderful fellowship with God and others. We're going to have an opportunity in a moment to go and be in fellowship together even beyond this service out at David and Jennifer's, and I appreciate so much them opening their home to us. And it's always a great time of fellowship. And you know, that's what Christians really are about, isn't it? We sing the old hymn, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. Acts 2 and verse 42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And the Bible in that same chapter says that they did what we're going to do tonight. They met from house to house. That's why it's so important for us to take advantage of this opportunity. Rejoicing in a new life with a new mission. That's what Christmas is really all about, isn't it? Reminding us that we can have a new start with Christ. And by the way, and last of all, that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? In reality, isn't that really what Christmas is all about? It's not only what Christmas is all about, but it is what Christ is about. And it should be what Christians are about. Fulfilling the mission of Jesus. That's the Christian's place in this world, isn't it? This is God's business. It is. And Jesus is still specializing in the broken and in the hurting for over 2,000 years. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Let me tell you something, brethren. We have the greatest message in all the world. It's much, much better than the message that they were offering back during the political campaigns. I'm going to tell you something. God offers us a better life. And it's up to us to take advantage of it. I hope tonight, if you're not a Christian, that you would, like others, come and make that confession of faith in Christ and repenting of your sins and by being baptized for the remission of sins. And if you're a Christian and you lost it somewhere along the way and it really, your life is void of all those great, wonderful blessings that God wants to give you, I hope tonight that you'll allow Him to restore you. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and then I will teach the transgressor of thy way. Dwight's going to lead us in a song of encouragement and invitation tonight, and should you be here with that desire and that compelling desire to become a child of God or either be restored in the faith to the joy that God wants you to experience, we invite you to come now while we stand and while we sing.